We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Happy Monday. Happy opening day, Giants fans. And welcome back to Joe Lo and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Man, this is a big week. I probably shouldn't have done any drinking yesterday because this is a big week. We've got the playoffs starting in hockey Wednesday night, Sharks at Oilers. We've got the basketball playoffs starting in a few days over the weekend. We're not sure which day it's going to be. Football's in full swing with the story we're going to get to in about 14 minutes. And we got baseball returning to San Francisco today. I rode my bike by the park this morning. It was looking good down there.
Hey, Dibs.
I'm sorry, you got something you'd like to say?
Yeah, well, I just read one text on the text line. It said that Joe's on one. They said Joe's on one.
He's on one.
Yeah, because you're being tough. They're like, man,
it's
Joe's
tough, yes. But they're also hard truths. Brides put bridesmaids in ugly colors and unflattering dresses because it's their day. They're not trying to make the bridesmaids look good. Let's be honest. You're not trying to make the groomsmen look good either. Put them in rented tuxes? Come on. Joe Lo and Dibs, 95.7 The Game. We got a lot to get to. We're going to get to hoops in just a moment. But for right now, here's Dibs with your update.
Well, the Warriors' playoff opponent has been determined. Good morning, I'm Dan Dibley. It will be the Portland Trail Blazers. Now that Denver has been eliminated, Warriors in the penultimate game of the season tonight, taking on Utah. Kevin Durant back on the floor in the win over the Pelicans, says it felt good to be back.
I mean, it was good. I just tried to make it as normal as possible, you know. Stick with my routine that I've been doing all season, and just go out there and play. Just leave it all out there. I think I was good. I mean, I missed some shots that I feel like I normally make, but outside of that, I felt like I played good defense. I rebounded well, made the correct plays, and just tried to play the right way. Everything else fall in line after that.
Led the team in minutes. Steph Curry sat out with a knee contusion. He's probable for tonight. Klay Thompson may get some rest. Matt Barnes likely out with an ankle injury. Our coverage starts at 6 tonight here on 95.7 The Game. Story number two, Giants finally get their second win of the year and Mark Melancon a first save.
On the ground, Hill to Crawford to Belt, and that's the ball game.
That's Dwayne Kuiper on NBC Sports Bay Area. Joe, it's too early to really panic or worry about how a team's playing, but they needed that one yesterday.
They absolutely needed that one. It was San Diego. It's not the Dodgers. It's the Padres. A lot of people think that's the worst team in Major League Baseball, and they were on the verge of sweeping you. So, yes, Johnny Cueto, nice effort yesterday. Buster and Pence going back-to-back. Nicely done. Now let's turn it into something today when Arizona's in town.
Giants home opener is today. Matt Moore gets the start. The A's are at Kansas City, taking on the Royals in their home opener. Oakland will send Jarrell Cotton against Ian Kennedy. The game gets underway at 1:15 here on 95.7 The Game. The update brought to you by Toyota. Wouldn't it be nice if you could count on everything as much as a Toyota? Now you can count on big savings on the most dependable cars. See your local Toyota dealer and test drive yours today. I'm Dan Dibley on your home of the Warriors. They face Utah tonight here on 95.7 The Game.
Thank you, Dibs. From the 510 on the text line, Joe. I met my fiance at a wedding where she was a bridesmaid. With that said, her dress was awful. You're not wrong. From Anonymous. Anonymous sending that in. Thank you, Anonymous.
Got to be Anonymous.
123-101 was your final Saturday night as the Warriors advanced to 14 consecutive victories. This time, the New Orleans Pelicans were the victim. What happened on the court? Mostly ancillary to some of the other storylines. Anthony Davis didn't play. Boogie Cousins didn't play. No harm, no foul. The Warriors came out and jumped on him early. Kevin Durant, though, made his return. 16 points, 10 boards, 6 assists. I think more importantly, first time he had the ball in his hands, went right to the rack. Two-handed jam, threw it down. That's impressive because a lot of guys coming back from injury tend to favor that leg. Talk to David Chow, the doctor that you had in San Diego, physician.
Sure.
He always says the biggest risk ACL patients have when they come back is that if you tear it in the left knee, you're susceptible to a right ACL tear. Well, why is that? Because they're favoring the left leg, putting more stress on the right leg. Durant came right out, two-handed dunk, dibs. Any reason for concern? He's dealt with injuries before. We back and ready to keep this thing cooking?
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, you didn't get the sense that he was going 100% full out, nor should he be. But you get him back out there again tonight, stretch him out. Maybe Wednesday you give him lighter minutes. You give everybody lighter minutes, and you get everybody set for either Saturday or Sunday. This team is trending in the right direction, and health-wise, they're all about right where you need them to be. Matt Barnes a little shaken up. I'm not concerned about the Steph Curry knee contusion. Get these guys all absolutely razor sharp, because if you handle Portland as you should quickly, you'll get another break after that.
Speaking of Matt Barnes, who was injured Saturday night, here's Kerr on the Barnes injury.
It seems pretty minor, but we'll just have an update, I guess, in the next couple of days. But I talked to Matt after the game. He didn't think it was too bad.
Okay, so what kind of risk versus reward scenario are we going to play out through the rest of this week? You've got the Jazz tonight at home. Tip time, 7:30 p.m. right here on 95.7 The Game. Then you've got a Wednesday night season finale at home against old friend Luke Walton and the Los Angeles Lakers. If you're Kerr, what's the approach here, Lo? We've been in a position now where we could say this team, they know when they need to turn it on. They know they've got to be ready for the playoffs. This isn't a young, inexperienced team. So can you rest the studs over the next two games?
You can rest them if you want to, but I think that he won't. I think for the timing, I see maybe Clay getting a night off, but you still at practice. This is the time, if you're going to rest them, Joe, practice has to be intense. You have to say, look, we're going to do some scrimmages because the younger guys are going to play more tonight and you guys are going to be limited amount of minutes. So you're going to make sure that you do that, because one of the worst thing you can do, you know, even if you're training for something, if you're running, you're in shape, you take 4 or 5 days off. Dude, it takes you that first couple miles to get those lungs back cleaned out. So the worst thing you do is have guys just sit around. So I think Kerr's going to do a great job of conditioning, the gassers, all the things you need to do to keep guys ready and playing shape, but also making sure that guys are just fresh. So, yeah, I think will he rest them? I think he'll rest them to the point that he just won't play them the whole game or late lot of minutes. He'll limit all their minutes if they're going to play moving forward.
Now back to Joe, Lo, and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
So here's the conversation. Part A, will the Cavaliers make it to the NBA Finals? Part B, if they do not, how does the franchise move forward? We jumped into this earlier, and then it got out of control during the commercial break, so we figured let's just bring it on air. 888-957-9570, if you want to weigh in, who's in control in Cleveland? Okay, let's start with Part A to establish for those who are just tuning in, Joe, Lo, and Dibs, 95.7 The Game. Lo, you are of the belief that the Cavaliers will not make it to the NBA Finals.
Yes.
Correct.
And LeBron's in control. Yes. So both those two questions, I just answered them for you.
So if LeBron's in control, earlier you said if the team wanted to replace the head coach, they could go ahead and do it even if he didn't agree. But if LeBron's in control, then this entire argument kind of collapses on itself.
No, because here's why. LeBron's in control. When they don't make the final, LeBron loses control because he's been the one at the center of attention, tweeting, Facebooking, media. I need to get point guard. I need this. I need that. And he's been, the management need to do it. Hey, we need to be competitive. He's done all of it. So he's in control. Why do I say he's in control? Because he got everything that he asked for. So he asked for Lou to be the coach. He got him. He wanted other players. He got him. So everything that's leading to, you're absolutely right, he's in control. My point is, if they do not make the NBA Finals, he no longer has control, his coach is gone, and he loses power.
How? How do you take the power away from him, and how does he agree to that?
Because of the fact you've given him the power. It's just like when you have given someone the power and let them do whatever as a player, and you said, okay, this guy right now is the player coach. Without a doubt, he's shown you. Have you ever seen Steph Curry go to like this to freaking Kerr, wave him off? Or have you ever seen Klay Thompson, KD? No, it's a respect. And it's not that LeBron respects you as far as is when things are going his way. Now, LeBron is really much controlling the head coach. He knows what makes this team push. You hear already the things that he says, but he has to do that. The Cavs has put him in a position of control and a leadership, and that's why you don't see the head coach do anything. It's always LeBron, because he knows he has control. If they lose, when I assembled and gave you everything as a player, and he's been the player coach, The ownership is going to say, LeBron, we've done it your way. They're going to sit down out of respect. LeBron, we've done it your way. LeBron, you said get it. We went over the luxury tax. We brought in the guys. We gave you a competitive. We gave you the coach that you want. Just letting you know, we're going in a new direction. And he can say, I want him. Sorry, LeBron. Gave you control.
Okay.
That's where I'm at.
Number one, they never gave him control. He took control. He chose to come back to Cleveland. That wasn't a discussion where it was, hey, LeBron, you know, we're interested in your services, and to sweeten the pot, we'll give you control. He said, if I sign with you, here's how it's going to play out. Let's make no mistake about it.
I'm agreeing.
He told them how it was going to work. So you're telling me that if this doesn't work out this season, they don't make the finals, that the team will show him respect, sit down with him, and say, we tried it your way. It didn't work out. Now we're going to move forward. You do realize his counter to that is, when you tried it my way, firing David Blatt, hiring Tyronn Lue, you got your first title in this city in over, what, 4 years, right? That's his counter. His counter is, my way worked. And maybe it doesn't work every year, but it worked. So then how do you respond to that if you're Cleveland management?
Peyton Manning, when he's 27, 28, MVP of the league, he's doing anything, Carbunch. When you become 35, 34, and you're older, and you see your skills diminishing, you don't have the same leeway. You don't have the same sphere of influence. You start to lose things. LeBron's 32, getting to be 33. This is his window. His window's closing. He's still going to be King James. He's still going to sell tickets. But people understand the handwriting's on the wall, and he's going to slow down. Do you say, look, you can go somewhere else, take your raggedy butt somewhere else. I'm still the owner. I make more money than you. If you want to go, go. I think that there's a situation where, yeah, you can keep him and give him the max deal because he sells tickets. I get it. But then as business, you got to say, okay, how long does this guy have for him to dominate? He's different. At 28, 29, 27, LeBron wants to keep doing it his way? Hell yeah, I'm letting him do it his way. But you 33 now, son. You don't got much left in the tank. I'm not going to let you necessarily just think you can run it all right now. That's how I look at this.
Dibs, jump in.
I agree with Lo on everything he's saying. I think if they have a big flame out.
Oh, is this the point where I start complaining because everyone's teaming up on me? That's always Lo's move.
Wow, this is.
Oh, I knew you'd say that, Dibs.
Lo plays the victim card.
Am I supposed to cry right now?
You got to come up with something like maybe I'm a wannabe black guy now because I'm siding with the black guy, you know? Maybe.
You were doing good.
I was doing real good, Lo.
And you did this.
I'm an easy mark, Lo. But I agree with Lo Neal. I'm going to go back to my happy spot and agree with you, Lo Neal, 100%. If they flame out before the finals, Ty Lue is going to be victimized. You look at the way he's managed this team over the course of the last couple months. They were trying to rest guys and still get the top seed, which is what the Warriors have been able to do. But come to find out, they're not going to be able to get the top seed unless they handle their business over these final two games. If they fall short, ownership's going to go to LeBron and say, look, LeBron, you're on the hook next year for $33 million. We're paying you. And you don't get to decide anymore what goes on. We're going to bring in an actual coach, somebody who can handle you and this team. And if that doesn't work and you're not happy, then the next year you can go about your business and go somewhere else.
You do realize, though, that the reason they have $33 million to pay him a year is because of him. That franchise's value more than doubled when he originally arrived there. It went in the toilet when he left, and then it surged again when he came back. When he's gone, that becomes one of the least appealing properties in the NBA. Like, we know what Laker paid for the Warriors, right? Wasn't it like an insane 400-some million?
Yeah, highest in
that. Valued over $1 billion right now.
Yeah.
Because they win. Once you lose, you're not worth nearly as much. When he leaves, that franchise goes in the tank. That's why Gilbert would be wise to sell now. But here's the point. You're talking about how he only has a couple years left. So, all right, they're on the hook for $33 million, and they tell him what they're going to do. Where do you think he goes when he hits free agency? You think he stays in Cleveland? He would play out that $33 million year, and then he's gone. He's not going to stick around if he doesn't have the control because someone else will give it to him.
Brown ain't going nowhere. He's at a point, Joe. This guy will never put on another uniform. He's done it. He's got his titles. Like you said, he's got his titles, he's got his championship, he's in Cleveland, he's from Akron, he's from Ohio, he's right there. He's done it. He's got his house in Miami, he's got his house in L.A. This guy's got plenty of more money than we'll ever see in our lifetime together. And he's like, he knows his window's closing, that's why he's so aggressive, and they gave him a chance. I just don't think he's going anywhere. I think they understand that.
Tamir in Oakland, thanks for calling the program. Jump in. Your thoughts.
Good morning, guys. First, I'm going to agree with Lo on I don't think the Cavs are going to the finals. But then I'm going to agree with Joe as the Cavs open Pandora's box by letting LeBron pick who the players he wants and gives them control. You can't take it away now because he'll be like, I don't even need the 33. I can go somewhere else because you know he wants to play again with D-Wade and bring Chris Paul too. So he's going to be like, my window's closing. I need to get more players over here, and he'll try to control what Gilbert's doing.
And have a boo-boom room? He brings those guys in. That's just going to be like, that's just a boo-boom room. It's a dream. They ain't going
to
win a game.
Don't talk to the callers like that. That's a smart phone call. Maybe the smartest phone call this show's ever
Thank
taken.
Thank you, Tamir, for the phone call.
Robin, Morgan Hill, jump in. What do you think?
Hey, how you going? Good morning, guys. I have to agree with Lo and Dibs, essentially, man. I feel like LeBron, you know, if Ty Lue doesn't make it this round for these guys, I think it's over just because LeBron had it its way since he came back, literally with Andrew Wiggins being gone in first step. But I feel like with this choice with Ty Lue, this season, yeah, they gave him a ring, but moving forward, it's longevity. It's going to be the long term, and I don't think Ty Lue would cut it out, unfortunately.
Terrible phone call, probably the worst phone call ever.
Best call. Call back again, please.
I'm just kidding with you, Robin. Thanks for calling the program. This guy is a control freak. He's had full control over this organization. He makes the decisions. There is no way ownership and management can get into a room with him and tell him they're doing something he doesn't want. If he wants Lou gone, fine, Lou's gone. But if they want to fire Tyronn Lue and LeBron wants to keep him, Lou is staying. They're not firing Tyronn Lue. You're not going against what LeBron James tells you. You do realize his decisions got you a title last year. Okay, maybe they don't get you a title this year. Maybe, and this is all based on the premise that the Cavaliers don't make it to the finals.
Right.
That's the hypothetical we're working with here. If that were to occur, I don't see how you can tell him, you know what, your way didn't work. It did work. You won a title. The value's through the roof. You're selling games out. You beat the Warriors. Seven games, you came back. I don't think you can tell this guy, what's happening. I just don't see it.
You can, and I think LeBron would come to that revelation on his own, and it would come across as this was LeBron's idea or it had LeBron's blessing, but he understands what is at stake here, and if they fall short of the NBA Finals, he's going to take a hard look at the roster, which is weak. Their bench is terrible, and he's going to realize that they need a change at the coaching spot as well.
So he'll make that decision. He'll make the coaching change. He'll make the roster changes. He'll go up to management and ownership and say, this is what you need to do for me. Because I'll tell you what, even if they consider telling LeBron he's not getting his way, he'll say, you got one more year of me and I'm gone. That's the leverage. Even if he doesn't want to leave, that's his leverage. You do what I say or I leave. And Gilbert sits there and goes, I can either try to hire my own coach because this buffoon is the same guy who drafted Anthony Bennett number one overall. You remember that? Yeah, it hadn't worked out without LeBron. It doesn't work out when they make their own decisions. They want to do that again. He can say, you can go draft another Anthony Bennett, make your own decisions. I'll leave and your value is going right back in the toilet. What's he going to do? If you're a businessman and you're Gilbert, why would you want to make the decisions? Let LeBron make the decisions. He's shown he knows what he's doing.
He's not good at making decisions. And the only reason why they won the finals last year is because Kiki Vandeweghe, after he teabagged him, Joe.
He teabagged.
You knew we were going to get there at some point. You can't have an NBA discussion without
a
teabagging.
That's
reference.
Right.
Stop it. and to the point though, Joe. Here's what you got to realize: it's chaotic. Cleveland is chaotic, and everyone's looking. They don't come to Ty Lue for answers. They come to LeBron James, and it's just showing you the pressure is starting to mound on him. Or it's going dark 30. No more Twitter. No more Facebook. No more doing these things.
That's what happens when you pursue greatness, though, Lo.
I
agree. You have to go zero dark 30.
And so by all these things that he's doing, he's putting himself in a situation, if it doesn't work, now the ownership has a reason in a way to say, LeBron, we respect you. We're going in a new direction. And I believe as a player, when you're pushing that situation – and you can look and say, it didn't work. You did all these guys. We went all the luxury tax. We did everything you said, and it still didn't work. Your coach is here. I think he'll take the back seat.
Now, back to Joe, Lo, and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Joe, Lo, and Dibs, 95.7 The Game. Some NBA discussion coming up in 13 minutes. The first round of the playoffs are set. It's time to start looking at the opponent, as well as tonight's game against the Jazz. But first, this weekend, beautiful weather. But every now and again, because I, like so many other people, addicted to the phone, I've got to check in and check Twitter, check Instagram, check email, and then go back. I try consciously now to put the thing away for as long as I possibly can, especially on the weekend when you're out and the weather's nice. Checked Instagram at one point. Someone had sent a message to both myself and Lorenzo Neal. Dibs, I don't know why you were absent on it, now that I think about it.
Whoever it was that sent it is dead to me, but please continue.
There is a, but there's a video, and it's a video of LaDainian Tomlinson. And of course, it's muted at first, so I don't know what this guy's talking about. I unmute it, and this is what I end up hearing.
It'll be Lorenzo Neal. Lorenzo Neal, my fullback, back in San Diego. He was my favorite teammate, great teammate, great friend. He will be presenting me.
That was LT when asked who's going to present for him at the Hall of Fame when he goes into Canton this summer. Lo, did you even know that video was out there?
Did you even know how to turn the microphone on? Boom, flag on the field. Dibs, you've been doing that so many times and I let you slide. All you guys.
It was such a beautiful moment.
I was so excited. Well, Joe, for one, that doesn't usually happen to me in a long time. I've been pretty good with the mic. You guys both know that. Anyways,
yes, congratulations on being good at having your microphone on.
The reason why, Joe, that I didn't get the mic on because it was touching.
This whole segment got away from us. You did this to yourself. We tried to do something nice for you here.
Business, he just adds on. No, but
I mean, what else are you going to do?
I gave you Ken Korak, Michael Haynes, and Peter DeBoer.
Waiting for the saintly one. Okay. But it was
he's always close.
So to reset here. LT was asked this weekend who was going to be presenting him at the Hall of Fame when he goes in this August. He responded with that beautiful audio talking about you, saying very flattering things about you. And it was a short Instagram video. I'm sure it goes on and on. Mm-hmm. Did you know this was coming?
No, I did not know that LT was going to go on Instagram or Twitter and make this a national or public deal. I know that he told me that I was going to do it. That's why I went back to the Super Bowl and he allowed me, presented me with that to say, hey, Lo, I really want you to do this.
So you found out about this in Houston at the most recent Super Bowl.
Yeah.
But you
didn't
know he was going public with this over the weekend. This is news to you, actually.
Yeah, it was. It was news, Joe. Actually, believe it or not, I was working, and I got a great text from my buddy Joe. Joe, that is, Foreman Ball, said, Lo, did you see that? I said, see what? What is this? And like you said, I couldn't hear anything. And I was like, what is LT saying? So I turned the volume on, and it says Lawrence. And I was like, wow. I texted him and said, man, I love you, brother. Thanks. You know, it was just, and he said, you know, be blessed. Have a great day. It was still, man, even though I knew that I was going to be presenting, it's still surreal. And when a person in that situation, microphone's in their face, and there again, he goes, no, this is my best teammate. This is my good friend. And you know your friends. You know you have a bond with him, but you don't know how that person really feels about you.
Yeah.
And he comes out publicly and said, Joe, and it's just humbling. And here once again, one of the greatest running backs I think that probably ever played the game. Not saying it because I play with him. I think this guy will be ever cemented as a top 10 running back the longest this league exists. LaDainian Tomlinson, I think, believe top 10, maybe even top 5 running backs that ever played this game. And for him to say that in a situation where he could have had Drew Brees, who's going to be a Hall of Famer, Antonio Gates, who's going to be a Hall of Famer. This guy played with so many
Marty.
Other... Marty.
Marty
Shannon.
His running back coach.
That wasn't going over. That'll go over like a fart in church. he probably won't even have Shelman there now. I don't want to say that too loud. Maybe Shelman's listening. Shelman, you can come with me. Once again, I'll step in and fix that.
Shelman actually is not invited to LT's golf tournament, from what I understand. I'm not supposed to bring that up.
Let's
go ahead and get in the time machine and go back and pretend like I didn't say that.
Come on, you can't let all this out.
It's just beef because it's two very competitive individuals. But back to the task at hand. Was he your closest friend in the league all those years you played?
Yeah.
I know you had a lot of friends. Was he your closest one?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah.
Were you married before you met him? Was he in your wedding?
I was married before I met him.
You were already married.
Yeah, he was in my wedding.
But Mike Allstott was in your wedding, wasn't he? Didn't his wife yank him out of there because he had too much fun?
Oh, my God. That was... Well,
Mikey, huh?
We're not allowed to talk about that either, are we?
Joe's
it's a good story.
Joe's bringing all...
Hey, look. Compelling conversation.
No, it
What's
is.
What's interesting? That's what we're in the it business is. Of, and this is interesting.
Come August 5th, on the moment and the day that he gets enshrined, what's going to be going through your
mind? Don't try to bring this back on track.
Thanks, Dibs.
I mean, you're doing jokes. I'm trying to find some stats here that work, so I found the date. I think, you know, Lo, it's less than 4 months away. So, I mean, this is something that you're going to have to obviously prepare for. Now, I don't think the speech you'll give will be live, will it? Isn't it one of those pre-recorded things that they do, your introduction?
Really? I don't know, Dibs. Thank you for...
Okay, I'm not sure. We're going to have to start doing some...
Yeah, we really are. We're going to do some research
on exactly what you need to
do. What are you suggesting?
I thought that, and somebody had mentioned this before, that the actual introductions, quote-unquote, are done by video now. So it's like a video introduction, and then the speaker comes out and does his portion live.
Is it because they want to control the speaker from going too long?
They want to control the introductions and control the event.
Okay.
So,
well, okay, that's understandable.
Instead of having Lo get up there and, you know, do 20 minutes, which of course you wouldn't, but
no,
it was somebody to make the introduction about them or whatever.
Say something controversial. You're
exactly.
Right. It's not about the introduction, which leads us into another question. Do you know what you're going to say? Have you written this thing?
No, you know, I'm going to talk to LT when we get closer and kind of ask what, you know, some of the things we'll talk and we'll say how long is, I'll find out the length that they want it to be. But like you said, this is not about me. It's about LT. And once again, here's arguably one of the greatest running backs that ever played the game. Here, this guy now is being selfless. This is him now with showing who he is. Once again, when the biggest stage, the Hall of Fame, the bus, when you get in that bus, and he goes, no, I'm going to get to one that's lesser. I'm going to get to one that's just a grunt, just an average guy. No, you think about it. Just a guy that was a grunt in the league that was just going to go away, bring my lunch pail. You knew I was going to work hard. You know I was going to get it done. But he could have had a huge flash in the pants. You know that. All the guys, he could ask anyone in the league, any coach in the league, who wouldn't want to represent the great LaDainian Tomlinson? Who wouldn't want to represent? And he chose me. I'm honored.
Well, it's like bridesmaids' dresses. You ever wonder why bridesmaids always look awful? They're in the worst dress imaginable. It's because the bride has the opportunity to take all her friends and make them look bad on her day. Isn't that the whole point?
No.
That's not.
I actually got really cute dresses for my girls.
Do you have any pictures that I could look at?
I'll show you the pictures.
We'll be the judge
really
of that.
Pretty.
But that's the whole point. The bride is going, it's her day. She's going to look fantastic. So you always put them in some off Easter egg color that doesn't look great, and it's always unflattering.
But
it's
what
never
are you
like
to
a slimming
me, though, dress. Right now, when you say that, Joe, and I agree.
I'm
with
saying
you.
LT could have gone that direction. He could have been the bride and brought in and put you in a bad dress. Instead, he's taking someone of prominence, someone of note, and I wouldn't put it past LT if there's another reason for this as well. Thinking about putting you on the stage so people wonder, you know what? Why is Lo Neal not in consideration for the Hall of Fame? Why isn't he on that final 100 list? Forget about the debate of whether or not you should be in. We don't need to get into that now. We can't even get you on that final 100 list. And that's easy. I've gone through and talked to multiple voters and figured out the process. I have emailed this guy at the Hall of Fame at least a dozen times, just trying to get your name on it. I wouldn't be surprised if this is his way of trying to get you some recognition, because mark my words, after this happens, and this is why we need to go do the show there as well. After this happens, you're going to end up on that list. Whether or not you get whittled down into the final 15 or so, that's a story for another day. But I would think this is your opportunity. That's what he's doing for you right there. He's not putting you in an ugly dress like Anna did to her bridesmaids.
Wow. I should not do that. I have pictures right here. They look
nice. I'll be the judge.
She's over there looking them up, Joe. But I tell you right now, Dibs, it's crazy. We're sitting there, me and LT, and I said, man, I don't have to do this. You know what he said? He said, this is your time. And so what Joe was talking about, you know.
I just looked. They're brown dresses,
they're
the bottom part of it is huge. It bows all the way out.
It's not.
They're not flat.
Copper. I'll show you the picture.
I read a review from Vogue on those very dresses, and they chimed in. That's not my quote.
Those aren't my words. Copper.
Copper.
Yeah. Copper.
Copper frocks
copper,
for the ladies.
Like the wiring the homeless steal out of buildings so they can cash it in. That's what it is.
Our whole church is
listen,
copper.
I don't blame you for doing that. Every bride does it. It's okay. I think it's a smart play, actually.
I thought they look beautiful. Everybody said they love the dresses, and I would have said, look,
that's what they have to say to you.
I had people help me choose dresses. I had my sister and my cousin come out and say, hey, which one do you like? They chose the dress.
How come they're not sexy? How come they're not, like, short and cut at the knees and form-fitting and, like, little cocktail dresses? Why didn't you go with those?
Because I like long dresses.
Right.
It's a fancier wedding. We had over 400 people at the wedding. So we went with a fancier...
Right. Take a look at these dresses.
Copper frock.
Yeah, it was intentional.
They are not copper frocks.
You don't have to feel bad about it. I'm actually complimenting it. I think it's a great strategy. Why would you want the bridesmaids to look better? You take them, you put them in an ugly color, and you have it always... It's always that material that just... Ugh. You can't even... Ugh.
Wow.
And you did that. And that's okay. You don't have to carry guilt with that.
I think they're beautiful. I thought they looked good.
It's the only move you can make as a bride.
Go take a look. You two at the break, we'll take a look at these, and you can weigh in as well. And we can. Is it Joe being a jerk, or is Joe being accurate, but it's just hard truths that people don't want to face?
I've also reused my cousin's dress that I wore for her wedding. Beautiful dress. Loved it. I've worn it again for other events.
What were the events?
For like...
Funeral?
No, not for like a New Year's Eve party or something.
I'm sorry. All right, you're being a good sport.
No, you're not.
I am. It's Monday. It's early. I'm just having some light fun.
Yeah.
Light fun. She's taking the hit because usually it's you, but this is a segment about you, so someone else has got to take the brunt.
Yes.
That's how the dynamic works around
here. Keep going,
here.
Joe. Sorry, Anna.
Thanks, Lo.
That's it. Well, that's
it. You know what? I thought we were on the same team.
I said sorry.
Well, the point is that LT doesn't have you in some copper frock. He's got you in a nice cocktail dress. He's got you all dolled up, ready to shine. And Joe's right. This could shine the light where it should be on the fact that it should at least be in the mix for the Hall of Fame yourself.
Oh, well, thank you, guys. I just really appreciate it. And I'm honored and privileged just to be able to, like I said, be able to introduce LaDainian Tomlinson. Just it means a lot. It means a lot to me. I'm happy that it means a lot to him, and I'm glad I get to share these moments with you guys. I mean, it's great. And
oh, my God. Not only am I coming, I'm going to be attached at the hip. I am going to milk this thing for everything it's worth, dibs. The Velvet Seas are going to part this weekend. Oh. There's going to be all types of free stuff all over the place. I am full mooching. I'm going to be a barnacle underneath you as the yacht. I'm just going to be attached to you.
And that's what you and Dibs, you guys were talking, telling.
This will probably keep you out of the Hall of Fame. It's like, who are these two schmucks that Lo Neal brought with them?
You guys talked about this all before it even happened. We should go there for 2 or 3 days ahead of time. And friggin', we can get all the Hall of Fame guests on. This would be neat for us all to experience, to go see those buses, go to Canton. Have you been inside the museum?
I have never been to the Hall of Fame.
No. Bring the experience back to the listeners. That's what I would hope to do.
We'll throw it out to the listeners later. What would you give Lo as the best piece of advice for this speech? Like a groomsman speech. You got to get up there. You got to be funny. You got to be entertaining, but you can't take the moment away from the bride and groom, much like Anna prevented her brides from doing when she put him in that copper frock.
I can't believe that.
Now, back to Joe, Lo, and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
We're bringing the great Gary St. Jean right into this conversation now. Saint, good morning and welcome to the program. It's the MVP discussion. As I'm sure you've already figured out, Russell Westbrook, the one thing we keep leaning on is the triple-double. So many triple-doubles, he's got to be the MVP, but there have been over 110 triple-doubles in the NBA this year. 5 years ago, there were only 18. Does this stat mean that much still, or has it become watered down?
Well, the game's changed significantly, fellas. And, in the old days, we just didn't see this very much. Now, to his credit, he's a great athlete. I love the way he competes. I agree a lot with Lo said. And Sean Elliott, who I have a lot of respect for, who's the color commentator for the Spurs, was talking to Pop last week, and they were talking about, well, let's define MVP. And there's no written definition of what the league would like the voters to consider. So his thing is they ought to just call it the offensive MVP because isn't it about winning? Isn't it about taking your team to the highest level? And so there's a big debate going on, and Harden has said it himself this weekend. So and I'm old school. I look at a guy like Kawhi Leonard, and I think what he's doing is magnificent. And I really believe this. I think if Kevin Durant did not get hurt, it would have been an injustice for him not to be considered to be MVP because his team is going to win 65, 66 games. He's had a fantastic year. And two guys that I think don't even get talked about are LeBron James and Steph Curry. Now, Steph's had a few ups and downs, and LeBron obviously has, but sometimes I think their talent level and their value to their team just gets taken for granted.
Saint, I'm totally with you on that. I normally will default to best player on the best team gets the MVP, but this year is certainly different. And when you look at what Russell Westbrook has done, even though they're going to be a sixth seed and they probably won't advance that deep in the Western Conference, his eye-popping numbers, to me, make such a loud case that you absolutely have to give him the award, despite the fact that James Harden's team had more wins, LeBron's did, the Spurs did, etc.
Well, you know what? And again, Dibs, that's your opinion, your educated opinion on the matter, and I respect it. It's just not how I would vote, and I'm old school. I just think winning has to play into this a lot, and I don't know. I guess I'm getting older. I just it's more important to me about the Warriors team and where it's going versus the individual awards. They're nice, and they're nice to hang on your mantle and all that kind of thing, but to me, when you're playing in the pros, it's about winning.
Absolutely. Saying, and you're not getting old, and it does matter because your opinion is very, very, it's invaluable. The things that you've seen and experienced, it would behoove us to lean on you. That's why we get you on the show, Saint. So when you're thinking about just this Dubs team and what KD brings to it, could you see this guy? Are you going to see him more of these next two games? What are you looking for, and what would you like to see from KD's next two games, and what kind of minutes, and what is this team just going to do heading into the playoffs?
Well, fellas, first thing, weren't you guys really pleased at the stamina that he exhibited and what he was able to do?
Sure.
He went right to the rack, Saint. Right to the rack.
I mean, the first movie, he goes baseline on the right side and reverse dunks and, you know, I'm sitting there with Kalen and Pop, and I go, whoa, you know, I mean, wow. And just to be able to go out there, you can get on the treadmill and the elliptical and all these different machines. You can go through an individual workout, but there's nothing like playing in the pace of an NBA game. And I just thought it was tremendous what he was able to do. And you know, the second half, guys, in the third quarter, you could see him get a rhythm, whereas in the first half, you didn't. I'm looking for him to play, you know, maybe he played 31. Maybe he plays a little bit more. I think we can look for our big four in the playoffs to be playing 33 to 36, 7 minutes. And in some cases, maybe a little bit more. But for him, and I think Steve said this great, focus on defense because defense wins. It travels in the NBA in the playoffs. If you defend well, and you really get into your rebounding, which he did, and his shot blocking, then that's going to really, really have a profound effect because I say it every time we get a chance to chat, fellas, the defense on this team is underrated, and it's the reason why they get out in the open floor and they're the best, most exciting offensive team in the league. And I think he's underrated on the defensive end. I just think he's special back there. And we're going to see a shot come. I'm not at all concerned about that. Confidence taking it off the rack, to the rack, off the bounce, I think is big. And, you know, what are we going to see here the next couple games? You know, they may sit a guy. They may lower – they're going to significantly lower guys' minutes. But what a great position for the Warriors to be in. Maybe they're going to win 16 in a row like Pop keeps saying. If not, that's okay. But to get him back – and I see so many guys – playing well. These bench guys have, you know, they were under the gun in the middle of the year. People, oh, they're not productive. These guys are really playing terrific basketball. So I'm just excited for next weekend.
Gary St. Jean with Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. You're talking about great positioning for the Warriors. That it is. What about the Cleveland Cavaliers, on the other hand? LeBron played 47 minutes against Atlanta, and if they want to win this thing, they've got another road game tonight in Miami. This is generally a spot where LeBron would rest. So if he plays tonight, isn't that pretty much a big signal coming out from Cleveland saying how much they really want that one seed? Because I was always led to believe it didn't matter. They could win no matter where they were seated.
I got a text from an old friend, Elliot, yesterday, and he said, "What the heck's going on? They played him that many minutes, and Kyrie 40 something, and things aren't right there. I don't have a pulse on it. I don't know if it's just the defense or what the heck's going on, but they look like they're moving in mud. I don't know if they've lost their mojo, their rhythm, or what the heck it is, but." They got to get it back quick. And, you know, Miami's battling for that eighth spot. That's big with the Bulls. So they're going to give you their very, very best effort. And like you said, after a back-to-back, Joe, it's tough. So, yeah, in Boston, God, Boston would love to get the number one spot, but Cleveland does have the tiebreaker from what I understand. So, you know what? We've got great races. You know, here's Utah with the Clippers. Let's see what's going to happen here. How are they going to play tonight? Who are they going to sit out? And I think the Clippers have the tiebreaker there. Pretty much everything else is pretty well set, and there's going to be some just great battles.
The Saintly One, Gary St. Jean with Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Saint, tremendous stuff as always. Thank you for your time, and the next time we'll be talking to you, it's going to be playoff season.
Ooh.
I can't believe it.
Ooh, I love it. I love it. And if you guys are nice, I got a word out here in Danville, the Easter Bunny might visit all three of you guys next Sunday.
Oh, Saintly One. Yes.
It's great
you
to hear, Saint.
Be nice, though.
We will be.
Wow. All right, fellas. Happy Monday.
Now back to Joe, Lowe, and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Interesting story out of the NFL this weekend. This is from David Purdom at ESPN. The NFL's looking into an arm wrestling contest that took place at the MGM Grand Casino in Vegas, reportedly featuring more than 30 current and former NFL players, including Steeler linebacker James Harrison and retired running back Marshawn Lynch. NFL spokesman Brian McCarthy told ESPN on Sunday that the league has just become aware of what's being called the Pro Football Arm Wrestling Championship and will be looking into it further. Participating players could be in violation of the league's gambling policy and may face fines. League personnel are prohibited from making promotional appearances at casinos or other gambling-related establishments. Here's a quote. Had we been asked in advance if this was acceptable, we would have indicated that it was in direct violation of the gambling policy, Joe Lockhart, NFL Vice President of Communications, told USA Today Sports, which first reported the league's concern over the event. Quote, no one sought pre-approval. So just to surmise here, it's okay for the league to make money in Las Vegas, but it's not okay for the players, Dibs?
Well, this is what they negotiated in their collective bargaining agreement. They agreed to these rules as it pertains to promotional appearances in connection with gambling establishments. Now, obviously things have changed with the recent news of the Raiders getting approval to go to Las Vegas, but the CBA has not changed. And if you're a player and you sign on to play in their league, and you read through your entire contract, and you see in there that there's a clause that prevents you from making this appearance, it seems pretty cut and dry to me that if you make this appearance, you'll be in violation of that very clause.
Does it make sense to think that the league's going to have to do something about this moving forward? Now, it's collectively bargained, so they'll dangle it in front of the players and say, well, we'll get rid of this, but we need you to do something for us. You're going to have a team in Las Vegas. There are going to be promotional events at casinos. You don't think there's going to be a lot of money for the players and coaches of the Raiders to show up at Caesar's Palace, to show up at the Wynn, to do autograph signings, to host pool parties? This stuff, man, there's going to be money for everybody down there. You're going to have to make a change, are you not, Lo?
They do it all the time. It's just interesting now that the league is stepping in and stepping out because players, when I was playing, you know, shoot, Sean and those guys, they were having pool party at the different hotels like you're talking about.
Like Merriman.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like Merriman would host a pool party.
Absolutely.
And the NFL just didn't do anything about it.
Didn't do anything. It just got a lot of notoriety, and everyone now is coming out of the woodwork. Look, guys go to Vegas all the time. They get comp rooms. They get all these things, active players, retired players. They go to Vegas. They have their lines. They got their casino hosts. They promote parties. They do all those different things. It's weird to me. I don't understand how the league is trying to act like the NCAA in so many different ways. They're trying to kind of police guys. They're not even playing gambling. I mean, this arm wrestling is in a different, it's not even on where the tables, Joe. It's in a different room. Matter of fact, 1 year that I even went down to it and performed and participated in it.
This is something that's been going on? Did something like this?
Yeah.
In Las Vegas.
Arm wrestling.
Was it all NFL players?
Yeah. I think I still got my plaque, Joe.
Did you win it?
I think I did. I think I was one of those finalists, yes. So I was pretty decent.
So you've done something like this before. This has happened, but the league, did you get fined?
No.
Did the league even say anything to you?
No.
Did they just not know about it?
Probably didn't know about it, but probably his way of the social networking now with Twitter and Instagram, like you alluded to. But yeah, we went down to Vegas. A couple agents put stuff on. Agents go to these guys. They're getting their side hustle on. Agent says, hey, I got this player, and he'll tell the player, hey, go get me a couple guys, maybe another. They'll fly you guys in, they'll put you guys up, hey, have an arm wrestling contest, brings people to watch it. So I could see this thing happen. It's just, it has nothing to do with gambling.
I'm not positive he was in the event, but Marquette King was down there this weekend. If you were following him on social media, he had this video where he's dancing and goofing off in the lobby of the Cosmopolitan.
Yeah.
If you want a hotel lobby, that's the lobby to go to. The pillars in the lobby are all LED plasma screens, and they all change. They work in sync. So it'll look like there's like a naked woman trapped behind a glass. You see the silhouette, or it'll be like a never-ending flowers and just like all these morphing. It's really cool. You can just go in there and just hang out in the lobby. Plus, little secret, if you're in Vegas and you're staying at the Cosmo, or even if you're not, go to the Vesper Bar Friday around 3 o'clock. The Vesper Bar is right next to the Cosmo lobby. Friday at 3 o'clock is when the whole LA sect is checking in. Young, attractive, all getting checked into the hotel. You sit there and you just people watch having a couple cocktails. Great place to hang out. That's Joe Fornball's piece of advice for you
today.
Nice.
Very
hot
nice.
Hot take. The NFL is not making any money on this. That's why they probably have a problem. Let's be honest. They're going to drum it up as the illusion of gambling and, oh my God, there could be impropriety. People won't trust the product. BS. The NFL is going to back legalized gambling when they figure out how to make money from it, just like legalized marijuana. You got Jerry Jones saying they should stop punishing guys for it.
Yeah.
You've got doctors coming out saying this is a way for players to recover better than taking Toradol and all this pain medication. But the NFL hasn't figured out how to make money off marijuana yet. So until they get that dialed up, they're not going to allow it. Until they figure out how they want to make money on legalized gambling, they're not going to allow it. You're going to put a team in Las Vegas and you're going to have the announcement. You're going to ride the news wave all over the place for a month. And then players are going to go down there and make some money and you're going to have a problem with that. It seems about as hypocritical as it gets.
Yeah, well, they're just, you know, adhering to the letter of the law that was laid out and that the players agreed to. So as far as what the future holds, I think you're right. They're going to have to open that up or take that clause out, because if you're on the Raiders and you're playing in Las Vegas, they're saying that the local radio station can't do an event at a local casino. There's no chance. That definitely is coming off the books. But in the meantime, they're going to enforce all that they can while they can.
From the 925, isn't that called stalking in reference to the bar I was recommending? Yeah, I mean, yeah. Only if you follow them. You don't have to follow them. You kind of just sit there and watch from a distance. Like Luke Wilson in the movie Old School. I wasn't obsessed with you. It was in a good way. I just kind of watched you a lot from a distance. Congratulations to Eric and Walnut Creek. The correct answer, Southampton. On this date in 1912, the Titanic's maiden voyage departed from which city in England? Southampton. Dibs, do they have a club, a football club?
Yeah, currently middle of the table right now. I think they're running ninth in the English Premier League. So safe from the relegation zone, which that's my dream for the NBA, Joe, is to bring in relegation. That would do away with tanking. You take the worst two teams in the NBA, and guess what? You're no longer in the NBA. Go spend a year playing in the D-League. You bring up the two best D-League teams, let them slug it out for a while. That would prevent teams from going into full tank mode.
Does that affect player salary?
Yeah, it absolutely does.
So if your team gets relegated, you end up, what do you have, like a split contract where you're going to make more in the big league and less in the smaller league?
Or if you're a high-priced guy, you basically force your ouster because the team won't be able to afford to pay you. Because the revenue you generate in the lower league is about a quarter of what you would in the Premier League. So if your payroll is, let's say, $60 million, when you get relegated, you're not going to be able to pay $60 million, so you're going to have to let these guys go.
Matt McGloin signed a one-year deal with the Philadelphia Eagles. How is it that he has a job and Colin Kaepernick doesn't?
A body of work? No, that's probably not right. Super Bowl appearances? No.
Who was the other one Schefter tweeted? T.J. Yates. T.J. Yates and Matt McGloin now have work. Colin Kaepernick does not. Any particular reason why?
Lo, why don't you take this one, Lo? You played football. Like I'm a tennis player.
Dibs like,
You're just going to let Joe hang, weren't you?
I was.
He's looking at me like, yeah, I'm doing all right over here. Yeah. There's no, you know.
It's just
he was good with his little hustle story about the how he went and won an arm wrestling championship.
Which I am yet to corroborate. I've been looking on the internet. There's no word of you winning any arm wrestling championship, but I digest.
Did you lie to us?
Did you not win an arm wrestling championship?
Just like you guys said, oh, you didn't go to Pro Bowl in 2007. Wrong.
I never said that.
No one actually said that.
We asked you if
we just kind of asked a follow-up. Oh, really was the follow-up.
Yeah. I mean,
no one called you out.
Pretty much.
I know you went to four in 16 years, 25%.
That's good.
A lot of guys don't go to the Pro Bowl 25% of the time.
Then you had stat boys look it up. Oh, I can confirm. Yeah. So probably you're going to look for this. Yes, it was an arm wrestling in the 90s when I was playing, and I went there, and I performed well and got a couple thousand. Yeah. So it was good. It was good. I had fun doing it, Dibs.
Couple grand, that's it?
It was the 90s, Joe.
It was about the fun. I mean, it was fun, Joe.
So the Kaepernick thing. Can you help me out here? Or?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you guys are the one who derailed me.
Is there an opinion on the matter? Kaepernick, is he being blackballed? Everyone wanted to tell me no. I was crazy to suggest it. But there you go. Matt McGloin's got a gig.
Well, Matt McGloin and Colin Kaepernick, with all due respect, Matt McGloin's a fine piece. Great young man.
Yeah.
He's not Colin Kaepernick on the field. Colin's better than a lot of these quarterbacks that are backed up. And so is Jay Cutler. He's better than a lot of these guys that are backups on that are getting jobs. It's really interesting to see that these two young men haven't gotten work, because the guys that I'm seeing getting picked up, butt fumble guy, Sanchez.
I don't think the NFL will ever be able to get rid of Sanchez. I think Sanchez is going to have a 20-year career.
He might get pitchers.
I don't get it. He's got to. How does this dude keep getting signed?
You tell me. I mean, the guy's... He's not even average. That's the thing that's really, it's weird how guys that aren't even average don't have winning records. Their percentage, everything is down. No body of work, really not a lot of body of work, Joe, and they're still getting jobs. I don't understand it. Teams don't want the distraction, I guess. But you look at Jay Cutler, he's another guy. And these guys can help your organization get better. It can make your team better. Even if they're backups against your number one defense, these guys can make you better.
From the 925 on the PenskeAutoSales.com text line, love the happy half-birthday email. Thanks, fellas.
Oh, you're welcome. It's the least we could do.
We aim to please. We're going to start sending emails wishing you a happy quarter birthday, a happy 1/365th birthday. You get one every day wishing you something.
Perfect.
We got time. Why not? Happy half birthday.
Let's do it.
I remember I found the concept to be bizarre, but we did it and we aimed to please. It's nice to get that text.
Nobody loves their half birthday more than my brother Mike. Nobody.
Really?
Oh, yeah. He gets half a cake. He's a PE teacher.
He does a whole thing
Say
on
true.
This.
His true friend.
True friend. True friend.
He goes half cake.
His students, he's a teacher at a high school in Marin, and his students know that he's a half-birthday guy.
Yeah.
They'll bring him a half a cake.
Wow.
True friend.
That right there kicked my butt. I've never heard that, ever.
I'm telling you.
What do you do, send like half a thank you card?
Yeah.
He's got a whole elaborate thing, this guy.
It's a whole thing.
It's the only thing he does halfway, my brother.
And on the day of the birthday, they give him another half. That's
a
pretty cool.
A ton of stuff.
No, you probably get a full one. I don't think you're going to wait 6 months to give someone the other half of a cake.
Well, you can freeze it, Joe. You can freeze it.
Would you?
Vacuum.
Is that what you would do? You'd give someone half a cake, and then why would you give them another half on their full birthday?
Now you made him angry, Lo.
Okay, well.
Because it's an absurd comment.
No, it's not.
And I can only let so much absurdity go by before you eventually have to bring it up. If you get a half cake on your half birthday, why would you get the other half on your full birthday?
Because they already
Wouldn't logic dictate you get a full cake on your full birthday?
I'm going to disagree with you there.
Really? 888-957-9570. If you get a half cake on your half birthday, do you get the other half on your full birthday? Joe Lo and Dibs, 95.7 The Game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.